Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power, and we are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John chapter 5. And last week we began to look at chapter 5, and we left off in verse 3. And tonight we continue on in this very exciting book. 1 John. And in case you missed it, we invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. There you have access to all of our podcasts. Just hit the podcast link. You can also listen to our live feed. You can also visit our Facebook page, where we weekly post up the podcast from the prior week. Or you can download the app, which, by the way, is free, both for Android and iPhone. So you can be able to listen to all of our podcasts on demand. We also invite you to write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. It's always a blessing to be able to hear from brothers and sisters. We have brothers and sisters that listen from all around the world, and we just want to say hello. We had some brothers that were listening from Iran. So we give glory to God, and we say hello to our brothers over there and our brothers all over the world. And we just hope that this program is being a blessing to you. So we invite you to write to us, send us a line. Let us know if you have any prayer requests, any questions or concerns about any of the programs or any of the topics that we touch. And we also want to remind you that Brother Lewis has his program as well, the Brother Lewis Talk Show, which he airs live and always and also opens up the line for listener participation. So we invite you to also listen to that. Also, the number to our ministry is 305-320-RRAP. That's 305-320-RRAP. In case you want to contact us, that's 305-320-7727. Once again, we invite you to visit. We have many resources available, many recordings that we have on many different topics, so we hope that they will be a blessing to you. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, we thank you for all these new listeners, Father, that are coming to hear your word from across the world. And Father, we are thankful for that. And Father, we ask you to bless each and every one of them. But tonight, Father, we ask for prayer for us, Father, that you may, Father, protect us, Father, that you may give us wisdom and understanding to be able to proclaim your truth, Father. And to be able to maintain, Father, protecting your truth. And we thank you, Father, and we ask you tonight that you open up the hearts of your people, Lord, to receive this wonderful word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
The battle is won, it's already done, and my Father loves me. The battle is won, it's already done, and my Father loves me. Have died for me. How can it be? I've fallen to my knees. How can it be that you have died for me? How can it be? I've fallen to my knees.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name. Tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John. And in case this is your first time listening to our program, we always like to give a small little introduction to the book of John. The book of John is a very exciting book. It's a book that's filled with a lot of encouragement, a lot of exhortation. After all, the Apostle John was the very last apostle, and he was able to be part of the ministry of Christ. He was able to see all the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was able to be a witness to the death and resurrection of our Lord. And he was there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given to the church. And he survived all the way to the end of what of many scholars call the apostolic era, closing with the Apostle John, and who also received the book of Revelation. So obviously this person whom God is using, this person, the Apostle John, was a person who received great insight. He was able to see the victory of Christ. And when we look at this book, it is a book that is filled, that tells the Christian, hey, continue moving forward. Because look at the victory that you have in Christ. Look at all that Christ has done. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's the verse that we find here in the book of 1 John. So it's a very important book, especially for the times in which we're living in. We have many Christians being oppressed, many Christians going through difficult times here in the United States and all over the world. And it's very important for us to keep our hearts and our minds set upon the promises of God. So just to do a quick recap, last week we actually were able to continue up into verse 3. And we were looking at Jesus as the Christ. The word Christ means anointed, the Messiah, the Mashiach. And we went into the scriptures and we saw what that meant, what that means to us, what it means for us to believe that Jesus is the Christ. We also looked at how important it is that if we honor the Father, we should also likewise honor the Son. We also looked at how the scripture tells us that the way that we love God's children is by loving God and obeying his commandments, and that his commandments are not burdensome for his children. We that are true Christians, it should not be difficult for us to walk the Christian life, in the sense that there shouldn't be a great battle to do the will of God. And the reason why there is because of the battle between the flesh and the spirit. But the more we live in the spirit, the stronger we are to overcome, and the more minuscule the strength of the flesh becomes, so that we have greater and greater victory in our Christian life. Meaning that the reason why often we are powerless in our Christian life is not because the power of God is not in us, but rather we're not choosing to walk in that power and instead walking in the flesh. When we walk in the flesh, it makes it very difficult to read the word. It makes it very difficult to pray. It makes it very difficult to do the really important things with regard to spiritual growth. So tonight, we'll go ahead and start in verse 4. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and read from verse 1. Just so I can keep it in context with what we're going to be reading in verse 4, and we'll start by looking at verse 4 tonight. And the scripture says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God," this is verse 4, "for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Wow, this is a very powerful and deep verse. First of all, he says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And we saw that the first chapter tells us that whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And of course, we saw last week what that means, to put your faith that Jesus is who Jesus says he is, who the scriptures say he is, which we looked at. The only way we're able to truly believe this is by the power of God, by the witness of and testimony of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 4, he says, "For whatever is born of God," speaking of those who have put their faith upon Jesus, who believe that he is the Christ, who believe that he is the Son of God, who believe that he has come in the flesh, that he himself gave his life on the cross of Calvary for the penalty of the sins of the world, of my sin and your sin, and died and rose again on the third day. Whoever believes that truly is born of God. And now John tells us that whatever is born of God, what is the result of that? What is the result of those who have put their faith upon Christ, who believe that he is the Messiah, as predicted by the scriptures, spoken by the prophets of old? What should be the effect of that faith in the life of that person? He says they overcome the world. They overcome the world. Now, what's interesting about this, the Greek word overcome, is that the Greek word translated overcome has several definitions which are all applicable to the Christian. Now, the very first definition, when you look up the Greek word translated overcome, it means to carry off to victory. To carry off to victory. It almost sounds like there's a war. There was a hostages taken by the opposing army. And through that victory, you return those hostages, those prisoners back out of the hands of the enemy, out of the opposing army. And when you look at this overcoming, and this first definition that we find here, to carry off the victory, there's almost this application, I'm sorry, there's this sense that we can see in evangelism. What exactly is evangelism? Evangelism is going out, preaching the gospel to those that are lost, so that they may believe and may be saved. It's very interesting because when Paul testifies before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, he shares with us the mandate that was given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's actually read it. It's in Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 14. And look at what the Apostle Paul says about what the Lord shared with him. And he says in Acts chapter 26, verse 14, "And when we all had fallen to the ground," this is Paul describing the details of when Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And you're going to see that there's certain things that he tells us about that account. And we actually get in Acts chapter 9, where we get the description of Paul being knocked down from the horse. And he says, "And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes." This is the mandate. "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." This is the mandate that the Apostle Paul receives from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "I'm going to give you information. I'm going to give you revelation. You're going to speak to them about not only this that you're experiencing now, but what you will receive," which we learn that he receives the majority of the New Testament books, of the letters of Paul. Those are the things that were given to him from the Spirit, that were given to him from Christ. And we have access to that revelation. And here, Jesus tells them this, he gives them this mandate. And the very first thing he says, to open their eyes. To go out there and open the eyes of people who are in darkness. What is that referring to? It refers to the truth, to proclaiming the truth, to sending him out to use the word of God in order to bring light into those who abide in the darkness, for them to receive the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of those pagan nations that were worshiping demons and false gods and doing all forms of idolatry, all forms of sin and fornication, and they did not know that there was a God that loves them. There was a God that loves them so much that he had sent his son to die in the place of every single human being the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the mandate that he had received. And he says to turn them from the power or authority of Satan to God. This was a call to evangelize, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we receive, brothers and sisters, this power through the word of God to be able to come before those who are oppressed by the devil, those that are in afflictions, those that are in addictions, those that are in chains of sin, so that they may receive freedom in Jesus Christ. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice the progression. To open their eyes, so they can go from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So they can be turned from the power of Satan, so that they can be, so that they can receive forgiveness and have an inheritance and be called the children of God. These are prisoners that have been taken by the devil to destroy. The Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And every day, the lives are many who have been destroyed by all forms of sin, are taken directly to hell. Because of the oppression they have been under by Satan and his kingdom. And we are to go out. We are to speak about Jesus so that those individuals may be saved from that. So their chains may be broken, so that they can experience freedom. We look at Jesus in the Gospels. Wherever he walked, wherever there was oppressed, they were set free. Wherever there was blind, their eyes were opened. And we have the very life of Christ in us. This mandate for evangelism. And what's interesting, brothers and sisters, is that this same mandate is not only given to Paul, but is given to us because we have the same revelation that was given to him in the scriptures to go out and do these things that Christ had sent him forth to do. Paul took this mandate so seriously that his obedience and his faith in Jesus Christ led him to testify to the most powerful man of his time in the world in which Paul existed, to Caesar, who was the Roman emperor, which was the greatest empire of that time. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if you get the ability to go to the White House, the office of the most powerful country in all of the world, and to be able to proclaim the gospel there? The Bible says that Paul was had preached the gospel to the household of Caesar. Because Paul believed the words of Jesus Christ. He had believed that it was true, and because of his obedience and faithfulness, he was able to be in that position where he was. And even though on the outside it looked to us like if he failed because he was imprisoned, he was in chains, But yet he was able to testify before what was at that time the center of the world. You see, we have to see things the way God sees them. We have to ask God to give us his heavenly, divine perspective so that when we are going through bad situations, even if we know we're being faithful, because that's one of the ways that the enemy gets to us. When we're being faithful to God, we're doing the things that he wants us to do, yet we're being attacked right and left, and we're going through difficult circumstances, and then we start to question God. We start to say, God, huh? If I'm doing what's right, why are these things happening to me? We have to ask God to give us a heavenly perspective. How is it that Paul was able to do what he did? If that same mandate that is given to Paul is also given to us, why is it if we also have access to this authority, if we also have access to the power of God? If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why is it that some of us have such a hard time being able to evangelize? And the truth is because we, many of us, greatly neglect our prayer life. See, Paul was a man of prayer. And it is prayer that brings power. That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing. Be in constant communication with your Father. He's the one that has the power. No prayer, no power. Yeah, we can try to defend our argument intellectually. Yes, we can show them why it is that the Bible is true and why, and we can have so many intellectual arguments, but without the power of the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to reach a person's heart. You won't be able to break the chains, because only God can do that. And that's not to say that every person we testify to will be saved. But what it means is that when we do testify, we will do so in the power and the might of the Holy Spirit. See, what made a difference when these men preach is that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. When we read about the accounts of Peter, it says, Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you see and you read what these men began to speak, and it wasn't just what they were saying, but the fact that these words were the words that were given to them by God, and these words had the ability to penetrate the hearts of the listener. Secondly, the word overcome refers to Christians that hold their faith even until death against the power of their foes. In the book of Revelations, Jesus addresses seven different churches. But the church that is one that we should take account of, we should take account of all of them. But specifically the church of Smyrna, Jesus tells them that they are going to suffer many things. Satan himself will stand against them. And there's no promise that they're going to get out of that, at least not immediately. Jesus says to them in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, he says, I know your works, your tribulation and poverty. So these believers were poor. And they were going through very difficult times. And he says, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Brothers and sisters, if our faith is real, then the power that comes from our faith in Christ will allow us to stand even in the midst of the most horrible, difficult situations that we can find ourselves in. How is it that, brothers and sisters, in North Korea, the place with the greatest violations of human rights than any other country, a place where citizens of that country are put to death for the most minuscule things, a place so intolerant to the scriptures where to this day very little is known to the things that happens to the Christians that stand up, other than the fact that they experience great torture for their faith in Jesus Christ. They're considered enemies of the state. How is it that these believers, in a place where if you go against the state, if you do something against the government, it's not just you, they kill your whole family. That's how wicked that government of North Korea is. They won't just kill you for standing up for Jesus, but they'll kill your family too. How is it that these Christians can stand up, having very little knowledge of the Bible? Because there's no libraries. There's no Christian libraries in these places. There's very little Christian resources. How is it that they do it? It's because their faith is true and genuine. That is how they're able to overcome. We look at the lives of Daniel's friends in the book of Daniel when the king proclaims that when the sound of the music, everybody has to bow down by the statue, before the statue, and whoever doesn't do it, they'll get thrown into a fiery furnace. And these three young men had the audacity to be able to say, we will not do what you say, king, even if you throw us into the fire. They said, God is able to save us, but if he doesn't save us, we will still not bow down. And of course, I'm paraphrasing a little. How did these young men have the audacity to say to the king, we will not bow down before you? We would rather be thrown in that furnace, in that the furnace of fire, rather than to bow down before a statue. Because they believed in the Almighty God. They believed that He is who He says He is. And they had a relationship with Him. This wasn't some distant God. These young men were not Sunday Christians that only show up on Sunday morning. These men had a continual relationship with God, and they knew that their faith was real. It was ingrained in their hearts. These men had true faith.
Amen. For time's sake, I'm not going to read the whole scripture, so I'm going to start in 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. First thing here that we need to see, and it's the key, is that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Then I'm going to jump to verse 3, and this is what it says. This is love for God, to obey his commands. The second key here is to obey God's command. Then verse 4 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Now, let's see what this is talking about, right? Because for a lot of people, brothers and sisters, it is a burden. It is a weight to follow God. And these spiritual keys here that God gives us to believe, obey, and you will overcome. You know, there's other verses in the Bible that explains this. And the first Bible verse that I want to go to, and it's because, you know, what Brother Javer just said, why do, you know, people suffer or go through certain types of tribulation? And this is found in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. And this is what it says. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Now, this is something that we are supposed to expect, brothers and sisters. Because, you know, we have an enemy that's not happy with what we're doing. Especially if you're a person that's preaching the gospel. In other words, that you are doing God's command. If you are doing God's command, you're going to have somebody that's going to be against you. And sometimes it could even be your own family. But here is another key. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, we're going to look at 1 John 4:4. And this is what the Word of God says. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we become children of God. And, you know, I said this before, one of the biggest problems that a lot of people have is they don't know their identity. They don't know who their father is. But once we know who our father is, now we could call on our father. And, you know, through prayer, like Brother Javer says. But there's also another scripture that talks about what is another key that as believers we should use. And this is in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They triumphed over him. Over who? Over the enemy. By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Listen, this is so powerful, my brothers and sisters. We overcome the devil. We overcome the world by proclaiming the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus did on the cross, that he shed his blood to set us free. We're no longer under a curse. That the devil has dominion and power over us. We may face situations, but we need to speak to those situations and tell them, listen, I'm not subjected to you anymore. I've been set free by the blood of Jesus and by the power of the resurrection and the blood. I claim my victory. And then it says another thing. By the words of their testimony, where were you before you knew Jesus? Where are you now? And where is God going to take you? This is what, you know, speaks to other people, brothers and sisters. You know, you could sit there and say, oh, well, you know, this and this and that. But when you tell somebody, listen, I was a drunk. I was a drug addict. I lost everything. And God pulled me out. That is a testimony. That's witnessing for Jesus Christ. And that is our key, brothers and sisters. We're not controlled by Satan anymore. When Jesus died on the cross, he set us free. We're no longer under Egypt. Pharaoh is not in control of our lives. The low crust doesn't have power over destroying our finances. Because Jesus has overcome the world.
Another aspect of this world, this word overcome, is very interesting because there's also a legal aspect to the word. If you look at it in a Christian definition, one of the definitions for the Greek word means to have victory when one is arraigned or goes to law. In other words, it's a type of victory describing someone being taken to the court of law for a crime, for some form of accusation, and they beat the case. They beat the case that is set up against them. We have beat the case that is set up against us. When we read the Bible, one of the things that we see in the scriptures is of a heavenly court proceeding. There is a courtroom scene that we see in the scriptures. And in this courtroom, there is a chief prosecutor. The Bible calls the devil. And in fact, in Revelations chapter 12, verse 10, he is called the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us day and night. In other words, this person is the devil, Satan, goes before God. And he shows all the evidence that he has against us regarding our sins. He's like, hey, look at this person who says he's a Christian, who says he's your son. Look at what he's doing. Look at what she's done. Look at this. They're supposed to be a Christian and they did this and this. Accusing us before the throne of God. And one of the things that I ask myself, how does the devil get such boldness to go before God, accuse the saints, when he himself is guilty? I don't get it. But that's what he does. He goes before God and he accuses the saints. But glory to God, brothers and sisters, because our advocate, our lawyer, is also the judge. And not just any judge. But this judge himself paid the penalty of our freedom so that we can be declared innocent before the throne of the Most High. In fact, John tells us that. That's one of the things that we looked at in this verse when he says that we have an advocate. If you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a lawyer that fights and takes our case. And up to now, he's never lost the case. The Bible says that Jesus lives to make intercession for us. To intercede means he stands before us, between us and God, representing us. Because his blood speaks greater things than Abel, the Bible says. His blood speaks for us. It declares that we are innocent because he paid for our sins. And that's why it's so important, brothers. Look at what he says in verse 4. Look at what Paul ends in verse 4. He says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory." In other words, he's going to tell you what this victory looks like. And says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith. And he's just not speaking about your belief, but he's speaking about the faith. When he tells young Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he tells him, "Fight the good fight of faith." He's telling him, strive to live and preserve the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's not just faith that saves us, brothers and sisters. It's what we put our faith upon. You don't have faith in faith. Faith is not like the force from Star Wars that you can wield to get whatever you want. But it is the object of our faith that is important. Jesus Christ, when he tells Paul, when we read right now in the book of Acts, when he tells him that of those that have put their faith on Jesus. That is why the devil is so vehemently warring against those that preach the truth. That's why he's warring against those that proclaim the gospel, because it is the gospel that brings salvation to the life of a person. You look at many other religions out there that also preach morality. Christianity, the center of Christianity is not morality. It's the gospel. And yes, the effects of the gospel cause a person to become a moral person because their heart is changed and their heart is transformed. But it's not the morality that saves them. It's their faith in Jesus. That is the victory. Because one of the things that Brother Lewis was reading, when he was reading in John, he says that Jesus was saying, "I have overcome the world." And when we put our faith upon Jesus, his victory becomes our victory. His death becomes our death. His resurrection becomes our resurrection. But it's not just by having faith in something. It's by having faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And look at what he says in verse 5. He says, "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" He's going back to the gospel. Because if Jesus is not the Son of God, then he was just another man, just some moral person that was crucified. Do you know that there were many people that were crucified by Rome? Jesus was not the only person to be crucified. But what makes the crucifixion of Jesus different than any other crucifixion is that this was the Son of God, who was sinless, and at that moment paid the penalty for the sins of the world. That's why the devil wants to stop the gospel from being preached. He doesn't mind if you have social clubs. He doesn't mind if you include a lot of entertainment. He doesn't mind if whatever you want to do, so long as you don't preach the gospel, because it's the gospel that changes lives. From the beginning, the reason why Satan wanted to infiltrate the church was to corrupt the gospel. In the book of Galatians, we see that his attempt was to bring people back to legalism. Satan loves legalism. It makes people confident and have a false sense of security while they themselves are on the way to hell. Because we can never bring ourselves to the standards that God puts, to the standard of the law. We can't. We need the grace of God that comes through Jesus, especially in our generation. Our generation is wicked. Never have there been such a great population here in the United States that is so open for wickedness. They had this women's march not so long ago, which was a disgusting proclamation of these of evil individuals' desire to want to kill babies in the womb. It's disgusting. Sickening. The wickedness that exists in our generation. We need the power of God. We need to stand up and believe and trust that these words are for us, brothers and sisters. We might not be able to save the world, but we'll take a few with us. It's not about numbers, but it is about proclaiming the gospel and seeing lives changed. We need to believe that we have this access to this power. We have this access to God. And the reason why sometimes we don't see that in our lives, in our families, and our friends, people that we work with, it's because our personal lives with God is not where it's supposed to be. So our faith is weak. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. What does that mean? Obviously, reading is not the same thing as hearing. But when you read the word of God, you should listen to what is speaking into your heart. Jesus says, let him who has an ear, let him hear. He says that to all the churches, and that's his message to us, brothers and sisters. He's telling us, let him who has an ear, hear. Let us hear what the word of God has to say. Let it transform our hearts so that we can stand in this wicked generation boldly for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Brother Javer just spoke about faith. But before I get to that point, I want to talk to you a little bit about jealousy. And with that, I'm going to read this verse and then I'm going to explain what I mean by jealousy. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, the Bible says this: when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. Now, the key word here is not understand. In other words, they don't know the truth or couldn't comprehend the truth. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. Now, one of the things that we need to look at, brothers and sisters, and this is why I bring jealousy into this. Satan was an angel of God, But he wasn't happy where he was. He was envious and jealous of God in his position. So what he did, right, is he rebelled against God to try to take his position. And the point I'm trying to make here with faith is this. The devil is not happy for you to become a son of God. He doesn't want you to have a relationship with God. And he doesn't want God to love you. So what he does is the same thing he did in heaven with a third of the angels, and that is lie. And what he does is something like what we have here on earth today, people who are jealous of certain individuals, that they're going to college and trying to prosper themselves or become better people in this society. And then they'll say, listen, why are you going to college and spending so much money? All that education is not going to take you to anything. Or why do you work so hard in your job? They're never going to promote you. Isn't these things that we deal with every day in this world? People who are envious of us? Well, this is what the devil is trying to do. The devil is trying to destroy your destiny or your walk with God. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. We need to believe and know and understand the truth. And the truth is that God is never going to leave us or forsake us, and that he has prepared for us our future. And when we know these things, we'll be able to face the devil just as Jesus did in the wilderness and overcome him, his schemes, and his lies.
And if tonight you hear this message and you say, man, I want to be an overcomer. I feel like my life is in shambles. My family is in disarray and division. I feel like I'm in chains. I can't change. I want to change, but I can't change. The Bible says that you can have freedom by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And you can do that tonight. You can turn to him and say, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner and I am in need of your salvation. I want to be an overcomer. And tonight I put my faith on you, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. That you came down to earth, that you paid for my sins on the cross, that you died and rose again on the third day. And because you did that, I can be free. I believe in you tonight, Jesus. I put my faith upon you, Jesus. And I ask you to transform me, to make me a new creation. Take over my life. I want to be a son of God. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father God, tonight we exalt your name, Lord. Father, we thank you for dying in the cross of Calvary for us, Father. And tonight and today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for showing us that we're not orphans, Father, but that we have a Father and that we can declare to Satan and his principalities and our situations and our problems that our God has overcome the world. And through that power, that resurrection power and that blood that was shed on Calvary, we have the power to overcome the world through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We thank you again for listening. We hope that tonight's broadcast has been a blessing for you. We invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also visit us on Facebook or contact us at 305-320-7727 or at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening. We pray that the Lord bless you.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save wretches like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory! My Savior forever, he sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. About his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. My Savior forever, he sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. He is built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing.